What are we going to find out about our team over the next few days? We know we won't see the starters on Saturday, but there are some things we need to learn. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is a day, Mike, that we've been talking about for a few weeks. Oh, the joint practices with the Colts. That starts today, and you mentioned this yesterday. Falcons released their depth chart for week two. Going into the first preseason game, Kevin Stefanski said, well, I don't put that stuff out there. That's the PR staff. Okay, whatever. We'll take it for what it is. But the notable change is Juwan Taylor being moved to starting right tackle. This is one of the areas, guys, coming out of the next few days, we're going to be talking about. And look, nobody's going to be sacking Tua, but they know a sack, and they chart sacks.
Right.
And when a guy's holding the ball, Mike, for 8 seconds, it's probably a sack. So we'll be hearing things about that position specifically, something we're curious about. How quickly does Za'Darius Smith get up to speed with things? And, you know, is he out there? I don't know what kind of shape he came in, but obviously he passed the physical. But what are you looking for over the next few days from this Falcon football team?
Well, a heart. I mean, we didn't see any of that. Again, small sample size, mixed bag of starters and reserves in there. But still, it just didn't pass the eye test. Looked awful. So we're going to have to rely on the reporting, mostly from Indianapolis. I'm not sure how many Atlanta media are going to be up there in Indianapolis. But we're going to talk to a guy who's up there, who works for Colts TV and radio, named Greg Rakestraw. He'll be joining us later. But I just want to see some details of effective blocking, you know, and getting after it, maybe run stopping. And perhaps some pass rush, as you said, charting the make-believe sacks, as it were, 11 on 11. But it'd be cool for these guys to hit somebody else. They sure as hell didn't hit the Broncos, so maybe they'll get after it with the Colts.
Yeah, and you know, when we watch practice, we always say, like, oh, that would have been a sack. You know, because whether it's Tua or Michael Penix, it doesn't matter. If you're holding the ball for that amount of time, more than likely you're either throwing it away or it would have been a sack. So it's not that hard to chart those things. But, yeah, man, look, there are things that we need to learn about our football team. And, Mike, the thing I said to you today on our pre-show, it's called Behind the Curtain. Go check it out, any social media outlet and platform that you have. I'd love for us to get into a scrap. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want to get anybody hurt. But show some fight, man. Like, right. At the end of the day, I haven't seen a lot of that. I think we had one skirmish the entire 2 weeks we were up there, and it was a reserved offensive line who hit a D lineman, and everybody said, hey, 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 and right. It was over. And not that that has to happen and it means anything for winning and losing, but I do think it does energize your team. And, you know, I said to you guys, for those who missed it, it's out there. Cowboys-Saints got into a huge brawl, and then they had to call practice. But show me that, hey, we're not going to be pushed around. Show me that you're willing to take up for your teammate. Show me that, hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to be the energy guy. And I don't know who that is right now, Mike, because to your point, we didn't have any on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Walker is the leader on that defense. He's not playing this year. So who steps up? I think Divine Diablo can be one of those guys. Look, I know he's only a rookie, but, you know, we got some dudes, man. Kendall Daniels. I think there's some guys that can maybe step into that void. I mean, as we said, it's not like you walk in the middle of the locker room and go, all right, man, bring it in. I am your leader. Now, it emerges from the effort and the work, and you see it. And there's guys who put that out there. And we heard about some of the things, like, for instance, the Hawks. Some of the guys we drafted, they're known as leaders on the teams they came from, albeit a young guy from Houston and a veteran from St. John's by basketball standards. But there are some guys out there that just have it. That's to your point, looking for some of that.
All right, 404-726-0929. It's something we'll be talking about throughout the course of the day. And as Mike mentioned, in less than 10 minutes, we will talk to Greg Rakestraw, Colts TV and radio guy, and get some information about them. And look, what are they working on? Daniel Jones is coming off this Achilles. He played really well until that injury happened last year. And then we know what happened. Things went downhill. And they got a guy, Mike, they drafted in Anthony Richardson, who I don't think they can trust. I just don't think they trust him. In my opinion, I think the team has moved on. But he's still on the roster, and obviously he's, you know, still there. But there's some question marks as to what's going on with the Colts. And they got a bunch of injuries right at the receiver's position as well.
They tried to sort of showcase him last week, and they'll continue to get him some reps in preseason, if nothing else, to try to get somebody to maybe take a please, can you give me a sixth-rounder, fifth-rounder, and maybe get him off the roster? Because I saw some video from his appearance last week where he does enough to keep you tantalized because he's got the arm strength. He's certainly got the athleticism. But he needed another year of college and the polish and the leadership. We talk about leadership, you know, tapping out of a regular season game. Quarterbacks, wide receivers can go, need a blow. A defensive lineman can tap his helmet, got to come out for a season. Quarterbacks, they can't do that, you know, unless somebody's like bent their knee behind their ear, right? So anyway, there are a lot of more. That ship has sailed for him, but they're just trying to get somebody maybe to be interested in him by the deadline. Not deadline, by the end of camp.
All right, Braves are playing today. We'll talk with Grant later on in the afternoon. They've lost another series, Mike, and you were just telling me the offense has been horrendous, to be honest.
Yeah, our man Grant McCauley will join us a little bit later in the show, talking about just how bad this month has been. I said joking around with you guys, who's more worthless, Ha-Seong Kim or Sean Murphy? I mean, Murphy. I mean, the at bats last night with Murph were like the ball literally like kunk. I mean, it barely gets to the second baseman. It's like, what are we doing here? Anyway, Braves pitching. 10th in ERA. Okay, so they're doing okay. That's, you know, they're above average there. You know, if you look at the offense, 22nd in average, 27th in on-base percentage. Still hitting some home runs, and that's all Matt Olson. 9th in slugging. Matt Olson is basically 70% of the team's total wins above replacement.
It's crazy.
You take away him, and it's horrible. And by the way, we're not walking. I said to Grant the other day, I don't like the at-bats. They're not making the pitchers work. They're not going deep into counts. We're not stealing bases. There's a lot of things I don't like about this team right now.
Yeah, and the stealing bases thing, I think, goes back to earlier in the season when we were terrible. Putting ourselves in position to be thrown out, right? We had chances to score and guys getting picked off. And it went from, hey, we're going to run a lot, to we're not running at all. It feels right. That way. So, yeah, I think you're right, trying to create some other opportunities. But ironically, the guy that pitched last night and Tyler Mahle, look, he's been better than expected. That's all we can say. Like, I did not expect him to come in here, Mike, and have three outings of six-plus innings and do his part. And he's by far done his part. But the problem is, very much like Chris Sale, he's not getting any help offensively.
Now, last night, he made one big mistake, and it was a monster home run. If you didn't see it last night, I think it was Bell who hit it about 450 feet. But then, after that, the pitch count was getting to be a thing. He completely got in the rhythm and shut him down. Unfortunately, Didier Fuentes came out and was pitching to contact way too much. But nobody hit. And again, you know, 1-2-3 strikes, you're out. First pitch, line out. You know, not working the count, not making, you know, good decisions at the plate. The bottom of the lineup, Riley 0 for 4, Dubon 0 for 3, Murphy 0 for 3.
I'll tell you who's not having problems offensively. Milwaukee. And they're coming up next.
Yep.
Guys, they just put up 22 runs. I thought the Little League rule might have played last night.
You know, and just to bring it back to the base just for 1 second, you and I were talking about this off the air. You got a guy who can steal the base. So you got Money Harris having a great night. 3 for 4. He gets it first. Get him, steal second. Then you get a double that you at least put a little more pressure on Minnesota's pitching staff. So I don't see aggressiveness on the base pads. I don't see common sense at the plate. And that's a bad time to be going to this car on the dog days of August.
No doubt. So we'll see how this series ends. You're trying to salvage one. And then the Brewers. And we know this weird schedule where they have all these afternoon games, then Sunday night they'll play in Williamsport. But, yeah, man, 22 hits and 22 runs. It was impressive what they did against the Mariners last night. 404-726-0929. Follow us on social media, ATL Bell 929. That is Mike. I am at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. And, of course, this radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on in the world of sports, guys. We got a lot to get to. We will head to Indy here in just a bit. Also, we will talk more about who has more to prove in 2026. As we talk about college football getting underway, and Mike, a lot of positive things coming out of Georgia Tech. Again, we're going to get Coach Key on here before the Colorado game and talk to him a little bit about what he thinks about his team. We talked to him going into, you know, the summer and what the plan was, and I'm sure they've executed that. But to finish 9-4, first 9-win season since 2017, there are some expectations there. Then the Dogs, obviously, back-to-back SEC champions. Look, the expectation is national championship. Sorry. Anything less is unacceptable. That's where we are right now. Blame Kirby, okay?
Hey, and look, we've debated this mostly with Mike Griffith, who joins us on Thursdays here on Dukes of Bell from Dog Nation, where I'm not saying he's making excuses, but it's like, well, we were a little ahead of schedule when we played Notre Dame, okay? Well, we had the – well, what? I mean, and we found out the payroll for Georgia is comparable to all the elite schools. It's just they do it differently. They're not just loading up on a big, you know, one or two players. They kind of spread it around a little bit better.
Yeah, I think all these schools are spending. I wish we had access to real access.
Right.
These are reports and people, Texas has spent, you know, $45 million. Ohio State has spent. Mike, you're not going to be one of these top-tier teams unless you spend that way now. again, the top talent is going to walk out of the door and say, you can you know, kiss my feet. I'm out of here.
Right.
There's no way you can't spin that way and not have the kind of talent in the room or in your program. So it doesn't surprise me. I think the position that we're surprised about is quarterback. That's where a lot of teams are spending money, and it doesn't feel like the Dogs are spending that kind of money on their quarterback, at least not yet. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe that's coming. But we'll get into that whole conversation about who has more to prove here on the show. Also today, as we talk about Tua, man, lots of people talking about Tua. Mike, did you see this? Where NFL Network reporter said Tua is fearful of throwing the ball down the field. Now, look.
Wait, hold on. What?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so now we got a guy who can't have confidence in his knee, and a guy who has no confidence in his arm.
Well, this is what he said. Okay, talking. I hope so. He says this is Manish Mehta, I believe it is, from NFL podcast. I guess it is. His podcast is Between the Tackles, and he basically says, and this is what happens, guys, when people see the kind of performance we had. But he talked about going into preseason week number 2, which is obviously the Colts. We won't see Tua, but his comment was, Tua has a fear of throwing downfield, and we saw it last year. It was more of a horizontal passing game, and he's going to have to stretch the field. We as a team are going to have to stretch the field. We didn't have big explosive plays with Michael Penix on the field last year.
Right. I mean, that's why, guys, Penix, pray for Penix. Pray for Penix to get out there on the field. I'm not buying Tua, man. Again, I'm not calling him noodle arm. Now it's noodle brain, if that's where it's at, if that's accurate.
Yeah, you know? That's his opinion.
It's a take on him. But, I mean, we've heard about Gunnar Stockton's got to have the confidence in college to put it across the middle of the field, to be aggressive, to not worry about, I can't lose the game for Georgia. Well, that's not the mindset. So with Tua, I hope that's not the accurate breakdown of where he's at. Because, look, we're going to get tons of yards after the catch. But you're right. Fans want to see, and we've got the weapons to go downfield.
I think part of that last year was, you keep making these mistakes, I'm going to bench you. And then you get fearful of doing those things, Mike, the things that make quarterbacks great, which is pushing the ball down the field. So you're making mistakes, your team is losing, you're throwing interceptions. Coach goes, hey, my job's on the line. You keep doing this, I got to bench you. And so you get fearful of doing that, and then guess what happened? You get benched. So a lot of that plays into, all right, why didn't you throw the ball down the field? I think we've all seen Tua throw the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. But when you're in those circumstances, you're going to be reluctant, very much so like Michael Penix is reluctant right now to trust himself.
Yeah, that's it. So, again, hopefully, you're not going to see either one of these guys on Saturday. And we've debated, you know, just exactly when will Michael get on the field. So the Falcons can have a true evaluation and then figure out if they're going to pick up that option in the spring. So either way, I want to get off this argument and just start seeing things with my own eyes and stop speculating about when Penix will do this or when. All we can go by is what he said, and what he says lacks confidence. Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, I'm not banging on Penix, guys. And by the way,
he said I don't trust him.
And by the way, you Penix people, F your feelings. I'm so over this. Yeah, Daddy, I said it. Blank your feelings. I'm sick of it. Yeah, I said it, Day-Day. You're soft now, Day-Day. Now you're soft. Just like these fans. We're trying to win some games and find if a guy can play. So I get tired of hearing about, well, this or that. Get out there. Let's go. Let it rip. Time's wasted. When you blow another year, I said it's a gap year. I don't want it to be. I'm just telling you that's the way I feel it's going to be, Carl.
When he gets cleared, hopefully that's the case.
That's right, Daddy. I said it.
All right, man, we're coming back. We're going to head to Indianapolis. Greg Rakestraw is going to join us, Colts TV and radio guy. We'll find out the latest on the Colts, man, and what the biggest focus is heading into this joint practice with the Falcons next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Falcons making the trip up to Indy for a couple of joint practices, and Greg Rakestraw is joining us. He's the play-by-play TV voice of the Indianapolis Colts, does some radio stuff as well, and he joins us here. And I know practice hasn't started yet, Greg, but there are a lot of things I think Falcon fans want to try to learn over these next few days with these joint practices. I want to ask you about the Colts. What's the biggest focus for them heading into this week?
You know, it's obviously addition of Keenan Allen. You know, this is a need that, you know, Colts fans kind of knew they needed coming into the offseason when you trade away a Michael Pittman who's now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Alec Pierce gets a big contract, but unfortunately has been hurt, and we have not seen him any point in time in camp. And this team, even against their own defense, you know, it's been ones versus ones. They have struggled at times to move the football. Most of their completions have been kind of to the interior guys in terms of Josh Downs and Tyler Warren, but their exterior wide receivers, lack of a better term, have simply not been explosive. And so I'm not sure if Keenan Allen is that guy, but he's frankly better than what they have got. And he's a great insurance policy in case Alec Pierce isn't ready to go for the opener of the season. So the new employee is the guy that Colts fans are looking forward most to seeing at 3 o'clock.
Greg, what's going on with Daniel Jones? Does he look okay? Does he look good? I know the Achilles. We had to go through it with Kirk Cousins, older than Daniel Jones, and he wasn't right the first part of the season. How's Daniel look?
Well, I'll throw the broadcaster cliche at you. If the season started today, he'd be the starting quarterback. He's ready to go. You know, the plan was announced before the Patriots game that Daniel was not going to play in the preseason. I don't know if the addition of Keenan Allen might change that, because next week the Colts are at home for the Lions, and the Colts and Lions do not have joint practices with each other. So in theory, some starters are going to get to play next week. I still think they will err on the side of caution with Daniel Jones, but he's going to be ready for September the 13th. And frankly, if the season started tomorrow, he'd be the starting quarterback too. He has aced his rehab to this point.
All right, so he's the starter. What's up with Anthony Richardson?
Good question. He had a lot more. He had a lot more good than bad, frankly, last week against the Patriots. He was 11 of 14, 145 yards passing, 198 total yards of offense. He played with the twos. Riley Leonard played with the threes. Those guys will flip that. So Falcons fans with the quarterback scouting report for Saturday's game, you'll see Riley Leonard with the backups in the first half. You'll see Anthony Richardson with the threes and fours in the second half. In terms of his short-term future, the Colts aren't planning to move him. If somebody were to, say, be a quarterback short out of training camp, somebody gets hurt before the trade deadline, would the Colts think about moving him? Potentially. But I don't think they are just going to cut him or give him away for next to nothing. Again, couple of mistakes against the Patriots, one fumble. There was a pick, frankly, that wasn't on him. That was a receiver dropping the ball. He kind of had one kind of ugly touch pass or lack thereof to start, but a lot more good than bad. So you'll see him in the second half on Saturday. Clearly he is the backup or third stringer to Daniel Jones, but at least in game action, played pretty well on Thursday night against New England.
Greg Rakestraw is with us, guys, from Colts TV and radio here on Dukes and Bell. Is there any way things go any different for Anthony Richardson other than staying in college one more year?
You know, it's a great question, and you know, I think the thing that unfortunately has held Anthony back is injuries, and even to some degree in college that was the problem. You know, he's this remarkable athlete, but he's not shown ability to be durable. You know, he picked up a concussion in his second game with the Colts, scoring a touchdown. He picked up a season-ending shoulder injury in week number five of his rookie year. You know, he goes through an injury situation, and then you know, sits for a couple of weeks, maybe because he wasn't preparing the way that Shane Steichen would like him to. You know, when he ends up playing 10 out of 17 games, you know, his second year. And then last year, he suffers a freak eye injury when a warm-up band, a stretching band, snaps and breaks his orbital bone after the sixth game of the season last year. And so the biggest thing, whether it would have been staying an extra year of college, whatever the case may be, is that unfortunately, the injury bug has just followed him over his first 3 years, you know, in the league. So there is still something to be said for how young he is. And, you know, this is the fourth year of his deal. He's not going to get a fifth year of his rookie deal. Whether he's here next year is frankly something I'll have a better answer for probably 17, 18 weeks from now. But even if he does come back next year, Daniel Jones under contract for 2 years. You know, I think if he's brought back, it would be as the backup, or somebody takes a flyer on him next year, you know, as a backup quarterback and still a very young guy. But I think the biggest thing limiting Anthony right now is just can't find any luck from an injury standpoint. Knock on wood, that's not been the case in this training camp.
Greg, we got to find out some things about our D-line. There are a lot of question marks there, our front seven. Talk about the O-line, because for the last few years, there's been a lot of talk in the league about how good this O-line has been. Quentin Nelson, I mean, you paid a lot of guys on that O-line. What are your thoughts there, and how good do you think they are?
You know, four or five starters at this point, you have an idea on the fifth starter. Obviously, what this team does from a rushing standpoint, Jonathan Taylor, tells you how good the offensive line can be. Only question mark for the Colts offensive line is that Braden Smith, who has been here for 8 years, that played at Auburn, so SEC fans might be familiar with him. He's now with the Houston Texans. The Colts drafted Jalen Travis, who spent time at Princeton and Iowa State last year, kind of almost as an insurance policy, as a red shirt for this year. Right now, he's the starting right tackle. But again, to reference another SEC player, Jalen Farmer was really good at Kentucky, was a fourth-round pick. He has been so impressive at right guard. There is talk about inserting him at right guard and potentially bumping Matt Gonsalves, who was drafted as a tackle but played guard last year, out to the right tackle position. So there's really kind of one question mark, but overall this group kind of knows what they are from a running the football standpoint. And obviously when you got a guy like Jonathan Taylor, who just picked up another two-year extension that kicks in next year, you know what you're about, and that's establish the run first. So the Falcons will get a good look at that these next few days of practice here in Westfield.
So is there pressure on Shane Steichen, the general manager of the whole package? We've all seen the stories about, you know, how Jim Irsay passed and his daughter Carly Irsay Gordon kind of took over, and she's really hands-on. But last year it just seemed like everything, rolling Phillip Rivers out there, just getting crushed by that Daniel Jones injury. Is there a state of grace for Steichen, or is there heat on him this year?
I think there's pressure on everybody. You know, I think everybody's long-term plan is, hey, let's see what it looks like at the season. And obviously, I don't talk about playoff droughts with you guys. You get it, what the Falcons have been through.
Oh, yeah.
We're in the same boat. You know, 2020, the first time that Phillip Rivers was the quarterback of the Colts was the last time that we were a playoff team. We have been stuck in this 8 or 9, 9 and 8 kind of cycle as of late. I kind of think it's a pass-fail grade for the Colts this year. Yeah. Are you a playoff team or not? When you've not been a playoff team for 6 years, when you've not won your division for 12 years, and think about how frequently the Colts hosted playoff games, say from 99 through 2014. We got spoiled by it. We haven't had a home playoff game in this market since January of 2015. So step one, be a playoff team. Step two, be a division champ. I don't think it has to be the second one, but it probably has to be the first one for everybody involved in Indianapolis this year.
Greg Rakestraw joining us, Colts play-by-play TV and radio guy. Let's talk about the defense. We spent a lot of time, trust me, talking about Leiatu Latu. And I'm curious to know, what has he done up there? What are the expectations? And then you guys got Sauce Gardner. I mean, in the secondary, it feels like the secondary might be one of the best in the league.
Correct. And, you know, you make the big trade for Sauce. You kind of put all the chips on the table last year when you're 6-1, 7-1, maybe through the season. And then things kind of just evaporate in terms of he gets hurt. Obviously, Mooney Ward, you know, was hurt and lost for the season at that point in time. Daniel Jones got hurt in early December. And frankly, the Colts had a finishing kick to the season last year unlike one I've ever seen. The last six teams they played all won 12 or more games. They played the Jaguars twice. They played the Texans twice. They played in Seattle, obviously Super Bowl champs. And they hosted the San Francisco 49ers. So things just completely flipped over the course of the last couple of months of the season. If Gardner's healthy, he's one of the best cornerbacks in the league. You saw, you know, progress from Leiatu Latu last year. He needs to kind of show out even more, you know, this coming season. So he's in year three. Jalen Tuimoloau, who drafted in the second round last year, is in year number two. You're expecting those young guys to pop. There's probably a little more confidence in the Colts secondary than the Colts pass rush right now. But if the Colts pass rush can develop, that lifts the rising tide that lifts all boats. That helps out everybody.
All right, man. We know you can't sack the quarterbacks, but you know we don't have Michael Penix Jr. He's only can do 7-on-7. We heard our coach say, we're going to be good guests up there. So I guess Shane Steichen sets the tone. What is a Shane Steichen practice like?
Shane Steichen practice is very on time, very efficient. We tend to, I know there's not no longer a hockey team these days in Atlanta. We tend to be the Lady Bing winners in our practices, very sportsmanlike,
nice.
Try to get along. There will be no Brock Recksteiner German suplexes like we saw yesterday in the Saints and Cowboys practices. Right. We'll be physical, and once the whistle blows, we'll extend our hand and help you up. It's that Hoosier hospitality that we show here in the Midwest.
Greg, what's the expectation record-wise? Seriously, because we're down here, and, you know, with the quarterback situation in flux, people are talking about 6 or 7 wins. What are the expectations for the Colts, in your opinion? What are people saying?
Get to double-digit wins and be a playoff team.
Okay.
You know, now, do we think that is exactly the way that it plays out? Time will tell. That is the way they were trending last year before injuries just kind of ravaged the season for the Indianapolis Colts. And you know, last year, clearly the schedule ended up being backloaded. This year, it's front-loaded. You know, it's Ravens, Chiefs, Texans, play the Commanders in London, not have a bye, come back and play at Pittsburgh. That's the first 5 weeks. And so, you know, if you can just kind of keep your head above water, I think this team is going to be okay. You know, expectations and what's needed, guys, might frankly be two different things. But again, it is as simple as, are you a playoff team or are you not? I think that's the ultimate question for this football team right now.
All right, before we cut you loose, you mentioned Hoosier Hospitality, wrapping up with Greg Rakestraw from up in Indy with Colts Radio and TV. I've been going to the Indy 500 since I was a kid. Never once, Greg, have I heard anyone in the parking lot go, Hoosiers. And I heard that the entire weekend. You guys must be living high on the hog. What's the expectations? Because, you know, everybody in the outside of the Hoosier State is just waiting for Cignetti to trip up. What's the vibe up there?
The vibe is that man can walk on water. And Indiana football was always just something you did to pass the time either during the tailgate, or you went to the tailgate and didn't actually go into the stadium, or it was just something you passed the time until basketball. Again, folks, this was the losingest program in major college football, and they have now won 27 of 29 games, including a national championship. So there's a bit of nouveau riche to us here in the Midwest in terms of how we feel about Indiana football and Indiana football being a big deal. You know, frankly, our stadium seats 53 to 55,000. It's going to get expanded PDQ, so you can sell more seats to get more NIL and get more players and things like that. But there are two entities that suddenly have a seat at the big kids table that didn't until the last couple of years. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever and Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers. So, and frankly, that's part of the reason why there's a little more pressure on the Colts. You know, it's been a Colts and Pacers and then kind of IU basketball state for a long time. And suddenly, there's a couple more teams and entities that get your attention these days.
Yeah.
You need to be on your P's and Q's because the competition level is stronger around here now.
Well, you get Halliburton back in the NBA, and they're going to be a different team this year too. So it's interesting. A lot going on up there, Greg. Hey, thanks so much for the time today. Enjoy practice, and we'll talk soon.
Please give my buddy Mike Conley my best. Always happy to hop on with you fellas.
Cool. Absolutely. Beans. Thank you so much. You know what's crazy about the Indiana job? Nobody wanted it. That's the credit you have to give Kirk Cignetti. Think about that. Hey! Right. You got a head coaching offer. Where? Well, it's the losingest program for the last 25 years. And you go, yeah, I'll take it. And then you turn it around. That's why Cignetti has the bravado, Mike, that he's been, you know, sticking his chest out with. But, hey, can't wait till the season starts to see if they can continue to ride it. Guys, they're a top 10 team. As we've been talking about Georgia and Texas and all these other teams, Indiana's going to be good again. I don't know if they'll be as good as they were last year. Great stuff from Greg Rakestraw. We're coming back. Daily downloads on the way, and what's up with Liv? Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. Kirby Smart did speak today, guys, talking about Georgia and camp, and he's very pleased with Gunnar Stockton, Mike, and showing his growth. Is that going to translate onto the field? It's something we'll discuss here along the way. He also gave a Drew Bobo update, and we were talking about this finger issue with Connor Riley yesterday on the show. Apparently, it's not as a big deal as maybe some people made it out to be, so we'll let you hear from Kirby coming up here on the program. Braves back in action, as we said, trying to salvage a game, and right now, the main thing for me, keep the main thing, 5.5 games over the Phillies.
Right. And the Phillies, as we said, objects in the rear view are closer than they appear and larger than they appear.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a major, look, it's a legit concern, you know, because you're leaking and they're getting traction. And I mentioned those numbers that Grant McCauley put out there where it's just, you know, there's a lot of problems right now with this team. And we're not talking about the pitching. We're talking about all the offense. You know, you got a guy in Kim, it's a wasted roster spot. You got Murphy, can't hit anything. You know, I was arguing with a guy on social media about, well, you know, he's got to get into a rhythm. Rhythm? His baseball card is 226. 2023 was an aberration. That's not who he is. He can't hit. Okay? Great defensive catcher, can't hit. Not clutch. So, and I feel bad for Walt because he's got to make this stuff work. You know, guys are upset about, you know, how the – and by the way, the rotation, Lane Thomas finally gets in. Yeah, they haven't been using him a lot, have they?
No.
Speaking of, you know, usage rate, and he didn't give you anything last night when he finally got up.
It's a good point. They lose 4-1 to the Twins. They'll finish this series, and then we said they head to Milwaukee. This is a tough stretch, man. It's just what it is, and that's why Mike's talking about the offense. We got to start scoring some runs.
Right.
Bottom line,
they got that makeup game against the White Sox too.
Yeah. And the Cubs have just deflated them the last few nights, winning, you know, and last at bats. And so, but they'll be hungry, and the White Sox are a good club. So we'll keep tabs on that and talk to Grant later in the show. Hey, Liv, I've asked this question. You don't have to answer it because it's rhetorical. You haven't watched one event.
I watched one 2 years ago.
Okay,
I watched one. It was in Mexico City.
Okay.
With Sergio.
So
I watched it.
So
I felt guilty after watching.
Well, because
2 hours of my life I can't get back.
It was a disaster. But Liv golfers left with mixed feelings following meetings with the proposed investors. We still don't know who these people are. Obviously, they're loaded, right? Mm-hmm. If they're going to invest in this, I don't think they're as loaded as the Saudis, Mike, who put this on the map. But the bottom line is there's so many mixed messages going on with this. And the point that I'm getting to, guys, is, guys, just walk away. Just come back to the PGA Tour and walk away.
Right.
All of this nonsense, even if it survives, Mike, for how long? Another year?
Right. Now, everybody's talked about, you know, this is where we're living, you know, as far as, you know, Rahm is going to have to do the same sort of rehabilitation, that's the way they describe it,
yes,
that Brooks Koepka came through with. You know, so you're gonna pay a penalty, $25 million will go to charity, and you'll be limited in how much you can earn, and then you're back in your good graces, and you're back to and doing your thing. The investor, and by the way, this angel investor who no one will mention his name. So he met with those guys, to your point. They sat down with him. Some guys feel that, you know, maybe they've got somebody who's got some idea. What good ideas? You're going to play less events, 10 in Europe, 10, or 10 internationally, and 10 in America, and what? And I mean, it has been picked up on Fox. We used to talk about it being on other networks. But still, I you're right. It's not compelling.
It's not.
And all the things about, hey, guys are wearing shorts. Hey, they're playing music. It doesn't matter. It doesn't resonate.
Yeah, so they had a meeting yesterday, and that's what we're talking about. But it's like the we're about to approach the Tour Championship. Mike and I will be broadcasting live out there next Thursday, Friday. Just like, you know, when this whole live thing happened, we went to that particular Tour Championship that year and we're like, man, we're missing this person and that person. And it just didn't feel the same. And I'm not saying that, you know, business is not good for these guys. Obviously, some of these guys have made a lot of money. But at the end of the day, there's more money now on the PGA Tour, Mike, because of the split. And you come back, you're still going to make a ton of money. So,
Right. Anyways,
just putting it out there. But they're still trying to figure out with mixed emotions about this proposed investor or investors, whether this is going to continue. Atlanta United in action tonight, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We get done at 6. Chris is on till 7:30. Then the pre-show from 7:30 to 8:30. And they are at the Minnesota United FC. So that will happen. Mike Conte and Jason Longshore with the call tonight.
I'll give you a memory lane trip. Oren, remember the game we played our first year at Atlanta United in 2017 in the snow?
Yep.
They had to break out the orange soccer ball.
And
so
they
you
scored
could
like
see
7
it.
Goals in that game. Too.
And
it was nuts.
Like, and I remember being at Fido in Midtown and people losing their minds. It was fun. Long time ago. A very long time ago. Hey, they're going to try to make some moves to clear all the dead weight and get some new faces in here. And you know, I've read some of the things that our buddy Felipe Cardenas has written. But, man, it just seems like we lost our way with the roster. And Lagerwey tried some things that just didn't work.
Yeah. The plans.
And Garth, by the way, is doing well with his health, apparently.
Well, that's great.
He's been battling cancer, yeah.
He's a great dude. The plan, just, you know, the Darren Eales plan worked. This plan, or since that point, has not. And there have been a couple of different plans of how they tried to go about this. So, yeah, man, we'll see what happens tonight. But hopefully they're able to pick up a road win and pick up some points in addition to that. Also, as we're talking about the Falcons, guys, they are in Indy, as we just talked to our buddy Greg Rakestraw. Practice starts at 3. So we'll be getting updates throughout the next few hours about what's going on. He said they'll play to the whistle and they'll be physical, but there won't be any suplexes.
Yeah, no monkey business. Yeah, if you didn't see it, the ultimate was
Cowboys Saints.
Yeah, who was the wrestler? It was Steiner's kid. Went nuts. And then, of course, peed in the cup and the cup melted. Family tradition. That's a problem.
There are certain dudes I don't know if I would have, because he picked that guy up. I don't even, when I saw him pick him up, I was like, oh, because you just don't see that in most NFL fights, or grab a helmet, take your helmet off. He was like, no, I'm going to pick you up and suplex you. But bottom line with that is, guys, we were talking about being physical and seeing our team play with a little bit of urgency in these practices. And by the way, I guess Stefanski's happy now that we had these afternoon practices. Mike, we were up there a couple of afternoons, and we were like, man, it's steamy up here. Right. Now they're in it up there in Indy.
Look, I mean, the Colts, they got some of their own issues. We talked about a team that was on a roll. This team was, I mean, think about this. They went for first place. They were dying for a quarterback play. They couldn't, obviously, Anthony Richardson was a non-starter. They had a role, you know. Was it? It was Philip Rivers was coaching high school football.
Yeah,
and they had to get him out back in the game. So it's you got a pretty good nucleus because you were in a position to win the division and be like the 2 seed in the AFC for about right day to day for about 5 weeks. As you just that had to be agony watching your team just slip away like that, you know, all the way out of the playoffs. But either way, they say, and this is where I'm not trying to. Okay, I will. What do I care? As I said, it is what it is. Penix Jr. had his injury in November. This guy had an Achilles in December, and they're saying that he is going to be good to go.
I'm sorry. I'm just waiting for somebody to say something. Is that not weird to you guys? The Achilles is a worse injury.
Yeah, it just takes longer to recover. Now, look, everybody recovers differently, but if you do have, we'll call it pre-existing conditions where you've had to overcompensate with your other knee having two ACLs. Look, I mean, it's just there's a long injury history. That's why some teams were not interested in Michael Penix Jr. 3 years ago.
Yeah, O just said, yeah, but he's got confidence. He's talking about the Colts quarterback. He's talking about that may be the difference.
What was the commercial with Jack Palance? Confidence is very sexy, don't you think? So yeah, we need that. We got to hopefully Penix will get something. And how does he get that confidence back until he can actually do what the doctors aren't letting him do?
You got to go play, man. Look, anybody's had a basketball injury, and let's just say you could dunk. You were timid to go dunk again until you actually did it a few times. Then you were even timid to dunk with people in your way. Like, right. That's just how this works, man. You got to go do it. By the way, Divine Diablo is dressed out today. So he's going to practice, which is good news. All right? That coming out of Indy, as we said, because we're trying to figure out what this is going to look like and who's out on the field, because that's what we really want to know, especially like Jawan Taylor. I want to see him get all these reps.
Right. And, you know, I mean, if we're hearing, like, it comes through the grapevine, whether from Atlanta media who's up there that, you know, hey, in 11-on-11 we had some penalties and there were some false starts from Jawan Taylor. You're going to roll your eyes because that's what got him in Cleveland. Right. I'm sorry, in Kansas City.
Yep.
When he started struggling with that, a guy who is, you know, considered at one point one of the top linemen who is, again, trying to reinvent. A lot of guys trying to reinvent themselves on this team.
Yeah. No, it's true. And get another bag. Let's be honest, right? I mean,
right. Not going to be Ojulari is at a different phase in his career. Ebukam has been a guy who's in Indianapolis had 9.5 sacks, but and we picked up Za'Darius Smith. So you're trying to, as we said, the phrase we're using is money ball. The idea is some of its parts, defensive rotation, and try to get the production you got. Or you were anticipating Jalen Walker giving you maybe double-digit sacks.
Yeah.
You were certainly anticipating Pierce. I don't know what Pierce, you said it. Maybe Pierce hits the ground running when he finally is eligible.
Look, he looked good in that first preseason game. Again, if you took his individual performance and you just isolated it,
right.
He was winning his one-on-ones. He was winning his battles. He was getting there. And it doesn't translate to W's, but that bodes well, Mike. Obviously, he's done the work. And I said this, talking to his pass rush coach in the offseason, he was working, guys. It's not like he hadn't been doing anything. But this is going to be a long time for him to sit and think about it while the team is playing and he's not getting paid because this is not paid.
Right.
And I just want to know if he's going to come back with a little fire in his pants. Coming up.
And you mentioned Divine Diablo. How does Kendall Daniels do? He's been getting reps with the number ones, and does he pop? And hopefully, again, it sucks that we don't get to see this because, guys, whatever comes from this scrimmage, this is it. Because you're not going to see you may see some of the guys that are fighting for some jobs, but you're not going to see the first team on Saturday night.
Yeah. Next 2 days, they'll get in a lot of work. All right. Coming up, we'll give you more NFL headlines. Also, what Kirby had to say and who has the most to prove this upcoming season. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Confidence is very sexy, don't you think?